Lovely. Well, it's a special day. And Zoe and Liam have brought baby Isaac to be baptized. It's a time to celebrate. So I wondered what I would talk to you about. And I was sitting there at my desk. I really felt God speak to me. I do feel God speak to me sometime. And he said, it's all in the reading. So I thought, it's all in the reading. Okay. So let's have a look at the reading. Have we got the PowerPoint up? Little PowerPoint's going to happen after me, I hope. Behind me, in a minute. Yes, no? While they're wrestling with the PowerPoint, tell you what, I'm going to read the reading to you. It's on the back of this, which is the takeaway sheet, okay? And here it goes. It's from the letter of James in a special translation called The Message. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Well, sing. Are you sick? Well, call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, he was a prophet in the Old Testament. Elijah, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. Not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came and everything started growing again. My dear friends, if you... We're kind of playing tennis here, aren't we, really? How's that? My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you'll have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. So that was the reading. And I wonder what God wants to say to us through this reading. Well, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about it. It comes from the New Testament, the kind of back of the Bible, if you like, the most recent part of the Bible. And most people know the Bible, the New Testament, starts with biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But then, towards the end, it's got some letters sent by church leaders in the early time of Christianity. And this was by a guy called James. And he's an interesting guy because he was actually the brother, or I should say the half-brother of Jesus. He was brought up with Jesus in Nazareth. And when Jesus started his ministry, going around healing people and preaching to them, the family thought he was nuts. They really did. But what then happened was that Jesus, as you know, he died. He was nailed to a cross on the first Good Friday. Then he rose from the dead. And after his resurrection, he appeared to James. And James was convinced that Jesus was who he claimed to be, which is the Son of God, or God in human form, perhaps we can say. And James was utterly convinced, and he went on to become a very influential leader of the early church. And he wrote this letter, which you can find in the New Testament, and it's full of really good practical advice. But near the end of the letter, the little bit we've read here today, James gets onto two really important issues. They kind of relate to what we're going to do for little Isaac. And the issues are forgiveness and healing. Now, just let me say, you look around the world and you see it's in urgent need of healing. I'm going to show you a couple of pictures. That one. Looks lovely, isn't it? And that one. Could anybody hazard a guess as to where those... So it's the same place. Anybody got any idea where that is?
Istanbul.
It's not Istanbul. It's a good answer, but it's not Istanbul. Yeah? It's not, I can see why you'd say it's in India, but it's not India. Mosul. That is Mosul. That is Mosul in the 70s. Can you believe it? Look at that. Looks beautiful, doesn't it? You can tell that by the cars, actually. That's Mosul now. Only a few days ago. That was taken a couple of days ago. ISIS has finally been expelled. The place is wrecked. Hundreds of thousands of lives wrecked. People exiled. And, you know, the world left to its own devices is in a serious mess. So how did it get to be from what it was to what it is now? Well, look, the Bible says that God created a beautiful world. It looks beautiful, doesn't it? If you weren't down there in the midst of it all, you'd think, isn't that fantastic? The most beautiful planet we can see. And he made us to live in it, in a relationship with him and with each other. But we messed it up. We messed it up. God wants us to love him and love each other. But time and time again, we don't do it. Yeah, there are lots of wonderful examples of self-sacrifice. But since the world began, there have just been too many Mosels. You know, there's like a Mosel every year or every 10 years, time and time again. And the Bible has a word for this. And it's an old-fashioned word, and it's not a nice word, but I'm still going to use it. The word is sin. It's not very nice, but it is actually realistic. And the Bible says that not only does sin damage our relationship with each other, because clearly it does if you go to Mosul, it damages our relationship with God. Because it's like there's a massive barrier between us and God. It's like there's a massive chasm. See, man or woman on one side and God on the other. So how do we bridge the gap? How do we fix the relationship? Well, you might think, if I were God, this would be really easy. What I'd do is I'd make everybody love each other and love me. Because, you know, God can do anything. He can make people obey him. That sounds like a good idea, but just think about it. Think about a world where love is compulsory. That would mean the whole world would be run all the time according to a strict list of rules. Everything I had to do would be laid out. I had to comply with everything from the moment I got up in the morning to the moment I went to bed at night, from the day I was born to the day I died. It couldn't be left for me to choose because I make the wrong choices time and time again. It would kind of be like North Korea, but run by a slightly nicer person, all right? I don't think I want to live in a place like that. So God had a different plan. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, who wrote the thing I just read out. Jesus was actually God in human form. And he started off telling people how he wanted them to live and healing them. You know, he had the ability to heal people that the doctors had given up on. People who were blind or deaf or had been sick for years. And if they came and asked him, he fixed their bodies. But the other thing he did was he fixed their souls in an extraordinary way. And he did it one person at a time. He didn't sweep across the whole of, well, Israel as it then was. He came and talked to the people who came and talked to him. One person at a time. So when he came to heal the world of its sin problem, when he died on the cross on the first Good Friday, he did it. He fixed the sin problem one person at a time. You know, it was as though we deserve to be punished for the wrong things we do, but he died so we wouldn't need to be punished. He sacrificed himself for us so we could be forgiven. And when he hung on the cross, he prayed the most amazing prayer. And the prayer was this: Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that extraordinary? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And God the Father answered that prayer. Because I can tell you from personal experience, if I ask for forgiveness, God forgives me. I know, I feel cleansed and forgiven. And also, various times in my life as a minister and as a Christian, I've prayed for people to be healed and they've been healed. Seems a bit amazing that, doesn't it? That God actually heals people, but he does still heal people. What Jesus does is he bridges the gap in an extraordinary way. He gives people a new start, one person at a time. So what's all this got to do with being baptized? Well, actually quite a lot. Because before Isaac was born, Liam and Zoe wanted to give Isaac the very best possible start in life. Actually, before he was born, Zoe made contact with me and said, we want to have our baby baptized. Isn't that fantastic? First time I think any mum or dad has contacted me before the baby was born, but it was wonderful. So you said, great, so come along on July 16th. So we fixed it all up and then Isaac comes along. And they wanted the best possible start for him. He's cared for, he's loved, he lives in a beautiful home. But they were clear that they wanted him to be baptized, to thank God for their son, to dedicate themselves and their son to God at the very beginning of his life. So we can pray for him. See, being born is the ultimate new start in life. When we're baptized, as you'll see in a minute, we pour on water. And it's like saying, you know, what's all gone before is all washed away. Now, of course, we're doing that for Isaac when he's still really tiny. But people can actually be baptized old, and when they're older too. And then it means something extra. It means all the wrong stuff that I've done in the past is all washed away. But, you know, the brilliant thing is we don't need to be tiny. We don't need to be Isaac's age to make a fresh start with God. We can do it. Grown-ups can do it too. James talks about it in his letter. How when we thought we totally messed up, Jesus can bring forgiveness and healing. And, you know, even if we've ignored God for years, you know, it might have been that you came to, you know, maybe you come to church every week, but maybe you don't. Maybe you were born into a family, you were baptized. Maybe you used to come to church, but you don't anymore. Maybe you were married in church, but, you know, somehow drifted away. James talks about that. He says, my dear friends, if you know people who've wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. You know, God never writes people off, however old you are, however young you are, because he's in the business of saving the world one person at a time. And just the other thing to mention, I've mentioned it already, but let me mention it again. When I said Jesus healed people, he's still in the healing business. James, in his letter, encourages us to pray for healing. And my experience is that when God responds when we ask him to heal. Not every time, but God does heal people in response to believing prayer. And just in the last week, two people have come to me in this church here in All Saints, and two different friends of mine with specific medical conditions who asked God to heal them. And they got healed unexpectedly, kind of miraculously, really, because the doctors didn't give them anything in particular. It just happened. Extraordinary. And my experience is that if we ask God to move, God does move and heal. Actually, one of those two people is a doctor, extraordinary enough. So I can tell you about that afterwards if you want to come and ask me again. So God is in the business of saving people and healing people one person at a time. Let me just leave you with just three or four things, okay? In a minute, you'll see that baby Isaac's going to be given loads of stuff, and I want to leave you with some stuff, okay? So first of all, I want to leave you with one of these. We've got here the breakfast takeaway sheet. Have a look at that. It's got the reading on the back. It's also got some questions on it. It says, some solid order questions. Just while we're doing the craft or after today's service, if you'd like to go and have a little think about those questions or talk about them on your table, why not do that? Second, there's some books, okay? If you're kind of youngish, there's a great book here. It's called The Super Cool Story of Jesus. It's really good. So do take away The Super Cool Story of Jesus, which is fantastic. Then if you're a little bit older, there's also a great booklet. It's called Why Jesus. You'll find some of those on all your tables. Take them away and have a look. They're really, really, it's really, really good. It says in kind of more detail what I've been trying to say to you this morning. Okay. And one last thing, if you've got questions, and I wouldn't blame you having loads and loads of questions, grab me or Nick or anyone else afterwards. But actually, there's an opportunity, especially if you live in Swanage, there's an opportunity to ask those questions and talk about them. Let me click onto the next thing. Chink. There we are. We're doing something called Alpha. Alpha. Now, Alpha is a course which looks at Christianity. Over 22 million people have done Alpha worldwide. 22 million people. We've done it lots of times in this church. We're doing another one. It's starting on the 7th of August. It happens at lunchtime. We're teaming up with Emmanuel Baptist Church in Victoria Avenue. And you'll find some invitations to Alpha on your tables. Okay. And if you'd like to do Alpha, just need to contact me. My details are on the back. And we'd love to have you along to Alpha and examine some of these things. Is that all right?